This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate. Then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
From WNYC in New York, this is On the Media. I'm Bob Garfield.
And I'm Brooke Gladstone.
And to this day, nobody's seen anything like that, what they were able to do during World War II. And now it's our time. We must sacrifice together.
Obviously, there's a big difference between what we fought then and what we're fighting now.
It's the invisible enemy. That's always the toughest enemy.
And yet, precisely the same threat is posed by what then and now could be called the enemy within.
The American people will not relish the idea of any American citizen growing rich and fat in an emergency of blood and slaughter and human suffering.
There is no greater moral crime than betraying your country in a time of crisis.
Fox's Tucker Carlson Thursday night, reacting to the story that Republican Senator Richard Burr of North Carolina sold off a boatload of stock just weeks before the market crashed because of the virus.
Now, maybe there's an honest explanation for what he did. If there is, he should share it with the rest of us immediately. Otherwise, he must resign from the Senate and face prosecution for insider trading.
By now, you will have heard that on February 27th, when the president said this,
"It's going to disappear. One day it's like a miracle. It will disappear."
We know, thanks to some tape obtained by NPR, that on the same day, Burr attended an event for deep-pocketed North Carolinians and said this.
"There's one thing that I can tell you about this. It is much more aggressive in its transmission than anything that we have seen in recent history. It's probably more akin to the 1918 pandemic."
It wouldn't be unreasonable to imagine that he drew some of that insight from a private Senate briefing with government scientists in late January, also attended by Georgia Republican Kelly Loeffler. The Daily Beast reported that she and her husband, who's incidentally chairman of the New York Stock Exchange, started selling shares the same day as that scientific briefing, somewhere between $1 million and $3 million worth of shares, and also bought some in a telemarketing company that, thanks to working from home, is doing pretty well.
"I've seen some of those stories, and it's absolutely false, and it could not be true."
Loeffler told Fox's Ed Henry Friday that she doesn't control her portfolio. It's overseen by third-party advisors.
"Who are these third-party advisors? They seem to have a pretty good idea about where the market was headed."
"Well, certainly, I'm not involved in the decisions around buying and selling. There's a range of different decisions made every day that I'm not involved in. And certainly, like any other trade, you can't see into the future."
If the reporting is in fact true, last month, Senators Loeffler and Burr and others could have chosen not to profit from inside information. They could have broken ranks with the president and warned the nation forthrightly, based on the best available science, of the peril they faced. And now, in response to calls across the political spectrum, they could resign. But this era is about money, not about shame.
"Look down there. Would you really feel any pity if one of those dots stopped moving forever? If I offered you £20,000 for every dot that stopped, would you really, old man, tell me to keep my money? Or would you calculate how many dots you could afford to spend? Free of income tax, only. Free of income tax."
In the 1949 film, The Third Man, Harry Lime, who profiteers in post-war Austria by selling tainted penicillin to kids, tells his friend Holly Martins that's what the grown-ups do.
"Nobody thinks in terms of human beings. Governments don't. Why should we? They talk about the people and the proletariat. I talk about the suckers and the mugs. It's the same thing. They have their 5-year plans. So have I."
Lime claimed to have a 5-year plan, and that puts him ahead of some of our current leaders who seem barely able to see a few weeks ahead. Here at On the Media, we've been thinking about time, how we perceive it as disaster approaches and when it strikes. Earlier this week, we heard about an art project, a video featuring a range of Italians offering comfort and advice to themselves of 10 days ago.
Ciao Anna.
Ciao Salvatore.
Ciao Francesca.
Ehi Virgi.
Ciao Daniele, di 10 giorni fa.
Hai paura? No, sono te, tranquillo, sono te 3-10 giorni.
Ti parlo dal futuro.
This exercise seemed quite familiar because when I was a kid, I'd often talk to myself in the past and sometimes the future. Guess I had a lot of time on my hands. But anyway, it was this Italian video that really got us thinking about time. Some people, like the cast of Big Brother in Germany, and those people on a 25-day rafting trip across the Grand Canyon, and actor Jared Leto, just back from a long meditation, had no time to prepare, emotionally or otherwise.
Some people are just finding out about it now, like Jared Leto, and this is true, who only yesterday became aware of coronavirus after returning from a 12-day isolated meditation trip. Man, it must suck to return from isolation only to have to find out you have to go back into isolation, especially because Leto's last entry in his vision journal said, day 12 of isolation. Can't wait to get back and spend time with groups of 10 or more people while we kiss on the mouth. But first stop is the store. I'm all out of toilet paper.
But he and the others who couldn't see it coming have friends and family and local officials to help them get up to speed. Why did it take us so long, though, to act? Why, when we had ample warning and offerings of help? President Trump on Tuesday.
I felt it was a pandemic long before it was called a pandemic. All you had to do is look at other countries.
Trump on the 10th.
Well, I don't think it's a big deal. I would do it.
But let's skip past the proclivities of this president and consider America. This past week, Psychology Today posted a letter about the role perceptions of time play in a nation's response to existential threats. It was sent to psychologist Mark Whitman by the Italian clinical psychologist Massimo Agnoletti. Agnoletti talks about the theory put forth a dozen years ago by Philip Zimbaldo of the controversial Stanford Prison Experiment that a person's behavior can be roughly predicted by whether they focus chiefly on the past, the present, or the future, and whether they do so with joy or dread. And the same goes for societies. In fact, wrote Agnoletti, that may be why South Korea and Italy, which he deems comparable in size and in the efficiency of their health systems, fared so differently in this crisis. Individuals and institutions that are more fatalistic, more focused on the hedonistic present, underestimate possible risk factors and the consequences of their behavior. According to Agnoletti, that helps explain the delayed Italian response, whereas future-oriented South Korea swiftly imposed highly restrictive measures respected by its citizens and thus suffered only a fraction of Italy's losses. It is, of course, a perilous thing to generalize about national character. No national character, including ours, can be easily drawn. But in Agnoletti's equation, we may well have shown ourselves to be leaning more Italian with regard to COVID-19. We have an unhealthy relationship with time. We live in a present that is both contrived and confined. We vacation in a fictional past, and we talk about the future, but we don't go there. When COVID-19 was in the future, the nearest of futures, we didn't see it. Not really. Not enough to decisively act. Since our founding, we've suffered stock market crash after panic, after bust, after recession, after crash, and we forget every one. We dismiss the climate change Cassandras even as we're slammed by intensifying hurricanes, wildfires, drought, and floods. We shut out the world, which is the present and the future, and are not prepared. COVID-19 is here now, and America will spend and spend for the present. But we won't pay for the preparations we need to weather the many heat-related diseases and disasters that await us, because we're perched on a wafer-thin slice of the present, and have no vision to spare for a future that anyone, anywhere who believes in a future could easily see.
Coming up, they've been getting ready for the big one for years. But is the prepper community ready for this one?
This is On the Media.